Everyone is a football guy, obsessed with the Pats and their QB.
Brady can play till he's 50, change my mind.
The other, a basketball guy who truly bleeds green.
But goddamn, the one thing that I love to do is sit down and watch the Boston Celtics at the end of the day.
Together, they make for a perfectly imperfect pair of Boston sports superfans.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
It's the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Boston has its largest lead. Brown to the rim!
Oh, Malik Beasley! What are you doing? Get out of the way! Whose baby is that?
I want to talk about my cute little teeth.
Someone get that baby out the street!
Good chip lollipop.
I've always admired the leader you are on the field, the husband you are.
I don't hate Tom Brady. I just don't think he's good anymore.
I love playing football. I've loved the preparation for it. I love the off seasons. But I certainly love doing this too.
So when Brady's a Charger next year, I'm excited to listen to the Jared Stidham weekly interview with you every Monday morning.
Get ready to worry, Patriots fans. Your team's in trouble.
Out of context, Drew Johnson. Out of context, you son of a...
It's okay. You say it. It's a Saturday afternoon show. That's if you right. can't say it now, no, you can never say it here.
I know. Well, listen, I've said it before, and I've been dumped out occasionally on it, but I don't appreciate the fact that that was out of context, and I do appreciate the fact that some of us who may be listening today could be in their car on their way to everything from, I don't know, a charity road race to benefit the foundation run by the morning show host here, a cheer competition in New Hampshire, Christmas shopping... celebratory, what have you, in the Commonwealth, New England, and all throughout Patriots and WEEI Nation. Good afternoon, Gilroy. How are you?
Oh, I am living the dream. But you know who's even better than I am right now?
Who's that?
Eagle Bank, because Eagle Bank proudly is sponsoring hour one of Fitzy and Gilroy here today.
Eagle Bank.
Eagle
is.
Bank.
How many different banks sponsor here, by the way?
Not enough.
Squeeze in Not enough. I mean, I love being in the money, but it's Needham Bank when we do the Tom Brady interview. Then we got Eagle Bank here in hour one of the Oddballs. Good.
So you're a runner, right? Is this something
yes.
that you do regularly?
Yes,
like, me too.
I do.
As do I.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. You're thin. I'm fat. So
how does this work out?
I don't know.
But I think you actually maybe even run more than I do. I celebrate the entire catalog of physical fitness. Oh. I diversify the portfolio. I'm not a CrossFitter because I'm not basically a really rich mechanic.
Sure.
Because that's all that
that's
is, really.
That's what that is, yep.
But running is great. Like if people that don't understand running, like the sheer joy, first of all, when you have a lot to worry about as a sports fan, when you're in the media and all you do is hear other people's takes and grousing and opinions all day long. And when you've got young kids, just the 30 to 40 minutes where you can get out and it's like, no one can talk to me here.
That's
no
the beauty
one can
of it.
Yell at me. No one can tell me I'm an idiot for picking the Cowboys. That's... Nobody can tell me that I didn't, you know, that dinner's not ready on time or I need to get people in bed. Like, just take that time for yourself.
It's a psychological break,
yes.
and it's the best hour of my day.
Yeah,
and here's the thing,
honestly.
Though. When I don't run, when something happens and I can't get my run in, it bothers me mm-hmm. for the remainder. It's sitting there
I'm
wearing
addicted to
on
it.
Me.
Well, I'm a former fat kid, too, so that's the thing. Is like I have to try to be in shape the rest of my life. Otherwise, I'll revert to my former self, which was the, you know, overweight, size 44 at age 14, bar mitzvah mustache, mullet-headed loser from Braintree. And now here I am, a fit, exhausted Pats fan with two kids in New Inn. Good job, by the way, today. Greg Hill Foundation, the Jingle All the Way 5K at the Neshoba Valley Winery. Awesome job. Amazing. About 1,500 people out there running a charity holiday-themed 5K, Patrick. Awesome. Tons of money raised. Spirit galore. Carolers on the course. Music everywhere. Santa Claus. And also Greg Hill. And you'll hear much more about this Monday morning on the show. But my God, if you think you're a fat guy running, oh, jeez. I literally thought we were going to lose him.
I thought
Monday was just going to be Danielle, Wiggy, Curtis, Ken, and Fitz.
I want to thank you, by the way, for the invite. You know I'm your co-host. I'm a runner. You know this about me after these weeks together. Not a single text that says, hey, Patrick, you want to come run in Greg Hill's race with me? Nothing.
Because I have to do that because you didn't hear about it 10,000 times from Greg or all over social media, like you didn't know it was happening. You needed a personal invite to pay $40 to run a 5K for me.
I turned on WEI and I heard Nick Wright's voice, so I immediately turned it off. I cannot do Nick Wright in the morning.
We had a great time. I appreciated him coming on this week so much, and I appreciate Drew weaving that into what we call the table setter there, the best minute in radio, all across the EI Nation. He was great. I appreciate it, and I've hated him from a distance as well. I know he's a KC guy, so I know he was going to pick the Chiefs in advance. I know he's not a huge fan of Brady. But What I appreciated about Nick Wright coming on from FS1 this week and joining us on Greg Hill, that was Thursday morning, was the fact that he was very much into the give and take. He was all about it. So when I threw crap back at him for things he even said the day before, like Wednesday on his show, I did my prep. I watched clips from First Things First. And he and the man genius, a.k.a. Fredo Mangini, were talking about excuses made for why Tom Brady and the Patriots offense can't function at the high level they used to, or even at a level good enough to beat the Texans on the road when they're favored. And Nick Wright said he didn't want to hear it anymore about young receivers being unable to learn the offense. He didn't want to hear it about, you know, they had time to prepare for Gronk. And he didn't want to hear about, oh, James Devlin. Like if your offense loses a fullback, that's the most pathetic excuse. Like, that's ridiculous. If your offense is predicated around that, then you don't have much of an offense to begin with. And earlier on the show, 30 minutes prior, Ninkovich, old Ninko, joined the show.
Yep.
And he said the worst thing that happened to the Patriots this year, the biggest loss they suffered, was losing James Devlin. I think we actually have that audio right here, Drew.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think that teams with very limited quarterbacks and passing attacks need a fullback. Like, hey, I'm just curious. Who was the fullback for the 07 Pats or the 2011 Pats or the damn 2017 Patriots when Tom Brady won league MVP? Who were the great fullbacks on those teams?
And the funny thing is, it was Sammy Morris in 2007 who was the fullback and then made his way to running back. And that team, the offense maybe wasn't even the same after they lost Sammy Morris that year in the Dallas game. But they had some good games, but like the most prolific scoring was early on in that year. But I digress. And of course, the Patriots, I don't believe they've ever won a Super Bowl in a year where they've lost Devlin, like 2017.
Right.
It's a key cog to it. Ninkovich said the worst thing that could have happened to that offense was that. And I threw it back in Nick Wright's face and he said, okay. And then he woke up and then he became more fair-minded about things. So while I appreciate you saying you'd want to turn it off when Nick Wright appears on the air, he's far less thin-skinned than a Kellerman, and he's far less obnoxious and one-sided as a Rob Parker.
Well, first of all, it's personal between myself and Nick Wright.
Oh, that's right. He hung up on you once, didn't he?
He hung up on the show, and then he texted me a couple of days later, and he said, want me to expose the text of you kissing my ass, Gilroy. So, like, he's one of these guys where he's super, right, super sensitive. Maybe he played it off that he wasn't with you guys. Good for him. My problem with Nick Wright on a professional level, Fitzy, is 100% of the time when he's got an opportunity to say something kind about or hate on a Boston sports team, he generally goes the way of hating on them 100% of the time.
Chiefs fan and Lakers fan, what you going to do?
But
I mean, like, he made sure to end
on
the conversation.
National TV.
I've been on national TV, too, and all I can do is lean on my Patriots and my Boston sports fandom. I wear it on my sleeve. It's a badge of honor. It's what I do. It shines through like the power in the center of Iron Man's chest.
But we're not sitting here, you know, on Sirius where you have to appeal to everybody across the country. When you come on national TV, Fitzy, you're Fitzy, the Patriots guy. So you're playing the part that you're expected to play.
Right.
When I turn on FS1 and it's Nick Wright, well, you would like to think that he can be a little bit impartial because he's supposed to be delivering sports commentary based on the United States, based on the four majors that we see here, the stuff that this country lives and dies with.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, it becomes the LeBron James kissing ass show, hate all over the Patriots. The Celtics can do nothing right, according to Nick Wright. So when I tuned into the show and I heard him, I thought you were going to really go after him. I thought you were going to be the guy that put him in his place because you're passionate about who we are and what we do here in New England.
Mm-hmm.
More so than anybody else on this station,
right,
it is you.
But I don't want to just turn it into, you know, I didn't want to turn the interview into like something where it's a savaging or a bunch of guys just yelling at it. I didn't want to turn it into basically all that is, you know, sports argument television. Just like, I feel this way. Oh, yeah? Well, I feel this way. And let's just be as loud as we can until we go to commercial. When we come back, we'll be twice as obnoxious. I had no interest in that. And I kind of want, and I did, I called him out on the James Devlin
yep.
thing, called him out on Brady and the functionality of the offense. I reminded him that the worst thing that could happen to the Chiefs this coming Sunday would be to get Tom Brady in 3rd and 10 and then do it again and then do it again, just like in overtime.
Yep.
And he, you know, he bathed in it. He took his licks. It was pretty fair-minded. I just didn't want to. He ended up being a better guest than I thought he would be, and I would rather have him on again so we could engage in spirited dialogue as opposed to just, you know, excommunicating somebody else or alienating somebody else that would be a decent guest on the show because there are, oh, shall we say, there are people that used to do a really good job of that. And now we've been trying to win them back one hot talking head at a time.
It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Patrick Gilroy alongside Fitzy here talking about the Boston sports scene with you guys, the Patriots at 10-2. The most, I don't know what the word is to call this team, because at 10-2, we should be excited. We should be happy. We should be optimistic about where this team is 12 games in, but it feels like they're 6-6. And now the conversation that you and I actually started here 2 weeks ago about Tom Brady is really taken off. And to the point where one of the last things I said to you before we left that show 2 weeks ago when I wasn't here last week was I felt like the Patriots were helping push Tom Brady out the door.
Right.
And it seems like that narrative has really taken off here in the last couple of weeks, whether it's Tom's going to go play elsewhere to sort of stick it up the Patriots, you know what, and show them that he can still play at a high level. Or maybe he's just done with all this stuff entirely and he's going to walk away from football. I don't think that's going to be the case. But when you look at this 10-2 team, Fitzy, why does it feel like this team is 6-6 and struggling to be 6-6?
Struggling. Well, much like with having the conversation we had with Nick Wright when it comes to talking about Tom Brady, I am maybe not necessarily a fence mender, but what I am not is a bridge burner guy. And I'll say what I say, I'll believe in what I believe, and I know what I love. And I love these Patriots, and I love Tom Brady, and I think I'm just getting a little bit tired at this point, guy. I'm getting a little bit tired of everyone feeling the need to start guessing where he's going. All this preemptive striking on what's going to happen to the Patriots next year, where's Brady, what's his mindset, when there's still a lot of football to be played. There's an enormous game tomorrow. And there's nothing that says this team can't make the rest of the season that could very well extend into the end of January, if not early February, highly competitive, thrilling, satisfying, and if not ultimately victorious. This is one of the things. Maybe this is just a side effect. Maybe this is corollary to all the success that has been experienced in this area. Maybe this is just what we do because there is such a grand assumption, Patrick, that, oh, you know, we don't really, the most meaningful football, like, we don't even really pay attention till January around here. Like, we just, the regular season is kind of an afterthought. Well, this year, it's a little more stressful than it's been. And guess what? We could be one loss away and a win from another team that plays about 270 miles to our sort of northwest from actually seeing a meaningful AFC East showdown in 2 weeks on a shopping Saturday here before Christmas in Foxborough. This is a little bit different. So pay attention. Be involved in the now. Don't worry about the later. The later is going to happen. Whatever it is, it is. And what it will be, it will be. I don't know where he's going to play. I don't want to see him leave. I still think he can play at a highly competitive level. If not, maybe not an all-time level, but he's a damn good quarterback. The receivers need time. You just don't show up and figure it out. It sucks that N'Keal Harry missed half the season. Jacoby Myers is trying like hell. Everyone who's played for the team or is on the airwaves and sniffed the Patriots for even a half a second is saying this kid is giving it his all. Mohamed Sanu got banged up. Edelman is doing the work of three guys out there for one. The offensive line, now we're on our third center of the season. They almost had to bring in a fifth kicker, for God's sakes. Like, it's their injured reserve for the year, Patrick, is twice what it was last season. They were super healthy last year. They had offensive line continuity the whole season. This year, they've already had two fullbacks go on injured reserve for the entire season. There are only two other fullbacks in the rest of the friggin' NFL. So it's a mess.
It is a mess, but when you look at this and you look at where they are and where they're going, you know, people are always going to want to talk about Tom Brady's future. Of course they are, because it's so uncertain. And the uncertainty has been there since last offseason, right? Since the contract negotiations went sour.
Right.
It has been a story, Fitzy. Mm-hmm. Whether you want to admit the fact that it's been a story or not.
It's just not what I'm obsessing over all the time like everybody else.
Well, you know, when you look at the situation, though, Fitzy, is there an argument that can be made that the Patriots, because of who they are and what they've become personnel-wise, that this might be the right time for both sides to sort of walk away? And if Tom wants to play elsewhere, let him play elsewhere.
Okay, let me walk back to the statement you just made. Who are these Patriots? That's what I'm most curious about right now.
No identity.
They right now, the New England Patriots, aside from the address they play at, the people who wear the jerseys and worship at the altar of the quarterback, and the flying Elvis on the helmet, I don't necessarily know who these Patriots are right now. A few weeks ago, we thought the identity was And even Tom Brady said as much during an interview on his Patriots Monday interview on the Greg Hill Show. He said, we are a defense and special teams led team. And that's the reality. That's who we are right now. And now the defense had a suspect effort on the road against arguably one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL and a former coordinator here who probably coached the best game he's ever had. We will figure out if they are going to be a hurry-up offense-led team led by a furious quarterback starting tomorrow. We will find out if they are a potential Super Bowl team tomorrow, and we will find out if their defense is worth the paper or at least the cotton T-shirts and sweatshirts they've been printing the Boogeyman logo on tomorrow. Because I happen to think that the flu, the pressure, and everything that went into last week, 17 people questionable heading into a game, literally a third of the roster was questionable last week. We're going to learn so much more about this team tomorrow than we did last week. But up until then, right now, they're kind of identity free.
And that's sort of the issue here, because I feel like when you and I started this show a couple of months ago, the Patriots had just come off, I believe it was 7 or 8, you know, easy weeks in a row. And then we had the gauntlet coming up, right? So even though they were, 8-0 at the time, nobody could really pinpoint who this team was, what they were going to be moving forward, because when you look at how historically great their defense was, you could always say, yeah, but look at the competition that they've played. People were unwilling to really paint them as one of the best defensive teams of all time, despite the fact that the numbers said that they were, because the first 8 weeks of the season, let's face it, they played a JV type of schedule.
Dude, it was an extended preseason.
That's what it was.
They literally almost played, save for Pittsburgh, who's only come on once they made the Minka Fitzpatrick trade and made their way to their third quarterback, their third running back as well. But they found a way. They had like a meaningful opponent in there. Otherwise, they didn't play anybody. So they had 12 practice games to get ready for this 5-game stretch that I had hoped and thought they would come through 4-1. And now the best they can do is hopefully 3-2.
And that wouldn't be all that bad.
It would not.
Because you just painted this team a couple of minutes back when you outlined all their problems, right? I mean, really, when you look at this thing, you know, we like to talk about Tom Brady and the receivers because it's an easy thing to talk about. It is something that we all can see. Whether you're the biggest NFL guy in the world or you just watch casually, you can tell that there's a disconnect there. It doesn't take some football genius to sort of figure that out. So that becomes the big narrative around here. What I find interesting, though, is the other stuff that really takes over. And I was in North Carolina last week at the in-laws for Thanksgiving, and I'm down there watching the game and talking to people down there. And this narrative sort of started to come out following the game. And if you watch the post-game press conferences and all that stuff, my father-in-law says to me, you know, Patrick, Tom looks happier after tossing 3 touchdowns and a loss than he does throwing 1 touchdown in a win. And there was something to that. I went back and I watched him, and he had a little hop in his step for the first time in a long time. That is so un-Tom Brady-like that I don't know. You said this team doesn't have an identity. I feel like the quarterback is having an identity crisis.
The quarterback is having an identity crisis. So you think that's why maybe he's dyeing his hair? You think that's why maybe he's looking a little different these days? I will say that I won't call it surliness, but the outward negativity, or at least the projected frustration, the pouting, the sulking, the yelling. It's one thing to yell and try to get your team fired up. You know, I'm all about Chris Sale shouting at everyone in the dugout. Nothing I loved more than watching Kevin Garnett scream at everyone on the sidelines of the court to get the team fired up.
Yep.
I like watching Hightower bitch the team out when they were losing in Baltimore and everyone wasn't minding their gap discipline and was getting deked and faked by Lamar Jackson. I like that. That's spirited. This is a game of competition. They're not just playing for participation trophies and juice boxes at the end. There's a lot on the line here, and it's not just legacy. There's games to be won. There are playoffs to be made. And, you know, now it's December. In early October, we thought we would have had hat and T-shirt day by now. And there's a good chance. There's on the table is the reality hat and T-shirt day may not even come, though I'm pretty sure they'll still win the AFC East. This team needs somebody. I was even talking to Andy Hart on the crossover here earlier, like, who else is going to step up? Tom Brady's obviously frustrated right now and is having a hard time aligning his feelings. Your father-in-law points out that he looks happier at the end of the game, getting the offense going, even though it's in garbage time,
yep.
You know, against a prevent defense at the end of Sunday Night Football. They did have a chance, though.
They did, at least a small chance, yeah.
And it was nice that Belichick said that, which he also said at the end of the game in 2014 when they lost 41-14 to the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Trent Dilfer, Pats aren't good anymore night.
Yep.
Said they never stopped fighting till the end. And we'll talk more about later in the show as to why that gives them hope for tomorrow. But It's weird. You need somebody else, Patrick. You can't just have it be Brady. You can't just have it be Edelman. And I feel like they're both so accomplished. They're both so successful. They're both so good at what they do. And they're so fiery usually that the rest of the team is kind of caught in this stand around where they're waiting for one of these legendary the GOAT, the Hall of Famer, Edelmania, Squirrel, somebody to like step up. Make it you. Don't wait for Tom Brady to make that pass and re-cement his legacy. Don't wait for Julian Edelman to catch his umpteenth 3rd-and-9 and keep a drive alive. Step up, establish an identity, contribute to the team, make a play, get it going. Is it going to be Sanu? Is it going to be, I don't know, is it going to be Matt Lacoste? That's funny.
No, it's not.
No. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Sony Michel? Is it going to be someone on the offensive line who's just going to start pancaking guys and establishing some tempo and an attitude? I need somebody else on this offense to do something not only that matters, but that gets everyone else fired up. Catch a huge first down. Get a deep touchdown. Do something. Hey, Philip Dorsett, be in the right spot when Tom Brady gives you the pistol for the double move on the long ball. Or on 3rd-and-goal when he wants you to go to the Amendola spot, like in that famous touchdown that won the AFC Championship a couple years ago. Everybody needs to stop overthinking it, go back to their roots, be in their playbook, and get it done.
And you, too, can hire Fitzy to be your motivational speaker, if you'd like. Just text the program here at 37937.
Now you got me pissed off,
I
damn
mean,
it.
You're pissed off, but
I wasn't before. Now I am.
I have never felt more alive than I do right now after witnessing that thing firsthand. It is Fitzy and Gilroy right here. It is the Oddballs. It is Sports Radio. WEI. When we come back, we'll get to your phone calls here. 617-779-7937. Opening the show, talking about the 10-2 New England Patriots. Why does this team feel like a 6-6 team that's struggling to make it through when the reality is they are 10-2. They are a team that does still control their own destiny, so to speak. And I still think that they're a team that should be considered one of the favorites to win a Super Bowl. But my problem isn't with the team right now. My problem is with the quarterback. He needs to set the tone, set the tempo, and do it in a way where, yes, he is Mr. Positivity. Yes, he needs to be the Tom Brady of old off the field. If he cannot be that guy on the field, at least look like yourself, sound like yourself off the field. The identity crisis is not with the team. It is with the quarterback of the team. It is Sports Radio WEI.
Now back to the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEI.
One aspect of him playing elsewhere, which I think could conceivably will happen, okay, because he's not going to retire. As far as I can tell, my informed opinion is that Tom Brady is not going to retire. He is, unless there's a radical change of course, not going to play here either. So where does that leave Tom Brady playing football in 2020? Well, it's not going to be based just on the receivers and the head coach and how well he can leverage the TB12 empire and put new roots down for it. It's also going to be a family decision, right? Don't we all make our decisions based on how it's going to impact our significant other and our kids, especially when your kids are at an age where they're so formative? Oh, Tim Curran, speaking of kids. I'm going to put this on, as a bad dad would, we're going to put that on Remind Me.
Wow.
Yep.
Tommy Curran right there from the Patriots Talk podcast, and Tommy Curran got the conversation really going this week, Fitzy. I mean, when you come out with the sort of stuff that Tom has said this week, and Tom is informed, let's make this very clear. Tom's not one of these guys that just puts something out there for the sake of putting out there. He's right. An informed guy. So that means that everything that we've sort of speculated on, and the speculation's been running wild here for about the last 6-8 months, all that speculation is coming from somewhere, because now it's being backed up by legitimate sources.
Okay, so Tom Curran was able to give us 4 doses of, as he calls it, informed opinion reality this week. On Dale and Keefe Tuesday, and of course Patriots Talk podcast Tuesday and Thursday, and then he did his Thursday night appearance at the Encore Burger Bar from the Encore with Mutt and Wiggy as well. And I got to tell you, when I listened to the first part of those 2 podcasts this week, it was Tuesday, and he started going over how and why he thinks the team may very well be driving him away, and they could be happy that Tom Brady may, at the end of the season, say, okay, guys, I think that's it. I'm good. Whether it's R word number one, retirement, or, as he's saying, more likely, R word number two, relocation. I had to, like, basically, like, stop doing whatever it was I was doing in the gym and just, like, You know when you get a little emotional in public and you're just like, I gotta go find a corner. Is there a bat? Like, check like all the bathroom doors. Like, I'm feeling like it's getting dusty in here. Oh, I can't handle this. Now, that said, I jest, sort of. But when I say, like, I don't really want to discuss this now, it's mostly just because it's difficult enough with the world always trying to come down on you and they hate you because they ain't you. And there's always so much drama involved in the narrative that is there each and every season. You know, being a Pats fan, it's almost like a full-time job. Oh, the rest of the NFL is like, oh, poor you and your 6 Super Bowls. Oh, we feel so bad for you. We'd love to have half of your first world football problems. It's a slog sometimes, brother. It really is. And then to now compound it with not just possibly Tom Brady leaving. It's not Tom Brady leaving, Patrick. If he leaves, you know, he's been the quarterback of the team for 18 years. That is exactly 40% of my adult life. Major seismic movements in your life. Like, you remember and you mark your life by the birth of your children, like graduations, a couple of weddings, maybe your own, the death of your parents. Like, this could literally, this is a benchmark moment potentially coming up. I remember what a mess I was when Ortiz left the Red Sox. What the hell is going to happen to all of us if and when Tom Brady does retire or, God forbid, go play for someone else?
He's not going to retire. I am convinced now more than ever he's not retiring.
Yeah,
because you've got Belichick, who, you know, he may want to try to win some games without Tom Brady to sort of prove his greatness. Well, if Belichick wants to prove his greatness and he's that competitive, what do you think Tom's going to want to do?
Oh,
Tom's going to want to go out there and light the world on fire next year.
Oh.
And you know what you're going to do? You're going to sit there and do what I did when Paul Pierce went to the Brooklyn Nets. I watched the Brooklyn Nets. I hate the Nets, but I became a Nets fan because I'm a Paul Pierce fan. And then I went on to become a Wizards fan, and he contributed there for a couple of years and had some nice playoff moments with the Wizards because I love Paul Pierce. And yes, it was awful to watch Paul go. Watching Paul and Kevin Garnett say that, you know, they still bleed green while they're being introduced in Brooklyn was like something I've never seen before.
But they took a bullet for the team because Ainge approached them and they said, we love the Celtics so much, we bleed green and always will, that we actually will let you trade us.
Yep.
So you can rebuild the team that we're now, that we love so much and are going to depart. That ain't happening with the Patriots. Tom Brady's not saying, let me go so you guys can get better and go on with your future. Tom Brady is forever the kid from San Mateo who went to Michigan and had Lloyd Carr say somebody else was better and then became pick 199. He's always going to be pissed off, even though he is probably the handsomest, most accomplished and greatest of all quarterbacks and maybe male celebrities in the freaking country.
But it's that disrespect that made him who he is today, right? And
right.
He feels like his own team is disrespecting him. They didn't want to give him multiple years in the offseason. He said, you don't have to pay me the top dollar. Give me reasonable money, but I want 2 or 3 guaranteed years. Well, the Patriots refused to do it. I mean, not for nothing, Fitzy. I don't blame him. Forget about the players that they got or didn't get and the talents around him on the field. The moment you go to the Patriots, your employer for the last 20 years, as the greatest quarterback ever to play the flipping game, and your team, your employer says, you know what? We're good. We don't trust you for the next 2 years. So here, take your 1-year deal. Sure, no franchise, whatever you want, Tom. You can be out of here at the end of the year. The only thing that makes sense is that the Patriots might feel some sense of relief, or at least Bill Belichick might feel some sense of relief. If Tom makes the decision to walk away, guess what? The Patriots, they save it PR-wise, because you don't blame the Patriots at that point. You really can't. If Tom says, I'm done, for whatever the reasons are, you, Fitzy, you can justify the Patriots not giving Tom 2 or 3 years. I've heard you do it before. You've done it on this show with me. How do you give a 42-year-old guy a 3-year guaranteed deal? You just do it because you owe it to him. He's the greatest ever to play the game, and free agency is a huge, huge thing.
It's a huge gamble. I completely understand why they wouldn't. When I said, like, I can understand why Belichick did it this season, because he wants to be able to pay the defense. And they saved up money to be able to afford something like when the albeit, you know, deceptively winning lottery ticket that was Antonio Brown landed in their lap, they had the money to be able to pay him. Now, of course, that bit them in the ass later on when he Antonio Browned his way out of town in just 11 days. Where were you when the Antonio Brown era happened? So I could see why they did that. Would I have paid him? Of course, but I wouldn't be a good general manager because I would rely far too much on, you know, fanfare, loyalty, and sympathy as opposed to being the cold-blooded, calculating menace that is Bill Belichick, general manager and football coach. I get it. I think that they probably should have given him a much bigger deal to begin the season because Tom Brady's slippage, Gilroy, is still going to be, Tom Brady at 80% is still better than 80% of the rest of the NFL. And that's good enough to not only win football games, but carry a team that is now led by defense and special teams to the playoffs and possibly a Super Bowl.
I mean, one of the things that Patriot haters love to say about Tom Brady and the Patriots is that Tom is just a game manager. Well, Tom was a game manager early on in his career, and they still managed to win Super Bowls, right? So, you know, even at the end of his career, if he had to revert back to game management, let's not make a mistake, dink and dunk sort of stuff that he did early on, I'm pretty sure at 44 years old, Tom could still do that. Psychologically, he is as smart and as sharp as anybody on the football field. And even if he couldn't, and even if the Patriots give him 3 years and he sucks for the back half of that contract, so what? He's given you 20 years. He should never have to sweat out his next deal here in New England. Hasn't he earned that?
Yeah, of course he's earned that. But one thing you said there, which I've always sort of like not taken umbrage with, but I've disagreed with fans. But since we have a little bit of a soapbox right now, I'd like to take a quick second. I disagree with this whole idea that Tom Brady, Sis Tom, as like people like to call him, was a game manager earlier in his career. Because
2001.
Dude, that's his first year. You're taking over for Bledsoe. Like, you're doing game management right there because they're easing you in. They're not just going to throw you in and say, okay, Tom, go five wide, no huddle, chuck it 55 times.
Right, so if he could do it then, maybe he could do that at 44 years old.
Okay. Well,
that's what I'm saying. You can win both ways.
Yeah, just the same way when you're born, you crap yourself in a diaper, and on the way out, you can also crap yourself in a diaper, which happens to a lot of us.
It does.
Look, I'm just saying, like, Tom Brady that ends up going to and winning Super Bowl 38, that was his third year as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Super Bowl 38, Brady was chucking it all over the yard. 3 years into the league, Tom Brady arguably won them that game. Sure, it was an Adam Vinatieri kick that he made at the end of the game, and thanks a lot, John Casey. I'll always buy you a beer if you make your way to New England. But also, Vinatieri missed a couple kicks in that game, too. Brady wasn't just always a game manager. This is the thing about the Patriots, folks. Tom Brady has been judged against 2007 and some of the greater performances he's had, as has the offense, and the Patriots will be as long as he's there. The Patriots from day one, when Belichick took over and Brady went under center, anytime they win, they are not a hang it high and let it fly team. There was an anomalous year where they were the greatest offense ever because they got lucky with Randy Moss coming from Oakland on a fourth round pick, and they picked up Welker, and that was a brilliant pickup. The Patriots are a game management, do what they need to do that given week. It's a by any means necessary team. So right now, just like last year when they reinvented themselves as a power running team at the end of the season and bulldozed their way to the playoffs with some clutch defense, they are trying to figure out what they are. That's the big thing right now, dude. They are basically like when you shake up a boggle thing before you put it down and the letters lay themselves out, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get. The caffeinated toddler hasn't put the snow globe down so that the snow can fall and we can see the scene. We don't know what they are just yet. And that is what is so frustrating because the pieces for excellence are there. But don't just say that, oh, it should be Tom Brady doing this or, oh, they should be playing better defense all the time. We don't know what this team is right now, and they need to figure it out ASAMFP because tomorrow it's a hell of a football team coming to town.
You're right about that. I'm with you, Fitzy, but one point here. When you've got the greatest quarterback of all time, number one on every list that's credible out there, okay, probably the greatest football player of all time in general, and he's an impending free agent, and there's talk about him leaving. I'm sorry, that does not lend to franchise stability. So you're over here talking about what this team is on the field, what they're going to be on the field. They've got a huge cloud hanging over their head right now that's never been there before. So to compare this to last year, it's hard to do. I understand the on-the-field reasons why you want to do that, but the fact that Tom Brady's an impending free agent and there's stories about him playing elsewhere, to me, that muddies the waters. That changes everything. If you're an NBA fan, you know what it's like to have your franchise player going into free agency and taking the tour and going elsewhere. It is a massive distraction. Look at what Kyrie Irving was last year. How relieved were people around here when he said, you know what, I'm going to stick around. I'm going to re-sign here.
Oh, my God. Did you just compare Tom Brady and the 2019 Patriots to Kyrie?
There.
But you just said, look at Kyrie last year. Gilroy,
it's a huge cloud.
This is a media mandate. Now I'm going to start sounding like Tom Brady when he got pissed off about the whole living with yourself routine. Like, now it's starting to become media created. This is starting to become a media machinated storyline.
He's a free agent. That's not media created. That is true.
That is a reality. And this is... I guarantee you, if they were playing better or if they were 10-2, 11-1, or undefeated and they'd been scoring 34, 38 points a game, would we be talking about the same thing? No, because it's the body language. It's the helmet flip. It's yelling at him on the sideline. It's the double pistol thing sitting there with the surface and McDaniels. It's the surliness on the Monday morning sometimes on the Greg Hill show. I get it. It's all led up to it. I'm asking not just you,
I'm asking everyone, and I guarantee you the fans I'll talk to tomorrow with Gillette will probably be much more on my side. And no, I'm not just cherry picking the kind of like Pat's pals and Foxborough fanimals that I usually traffic,
Patrick.
We just need to try to focus on the now as opposed to the later, because we have no control over it. They do have some control over it, but the situation is what it is. We can't go back and undo what they offered him. We can't go back and tell Tom, like, don't untake the franchise thing. Don't put your house up for sale when you do. We can all see the forest for the trees. There is a good chance he's going to leave. I still want them to win football games and possibly go to a Super Bowl now, guy.
As do I, Fitzy. But again, before we go to break here, here's the larger point for me. The guy is an impending free agent. He's in his walk year. It's never happened before. And when you look at professional sports as a whole, NFL, NBA, when your franchise player is walking into free agency and there are rumors about him going and playing elsewhere, that puts a huge, huge cloud over your franchise. So if your franchise is like the Patriots, struggling to find an identity, the situation with Tom Brady is not going to help them try to find that identity in the short term. When you've got long-term problems, that won't go away.
The same way that you said a few minutes ago, and I agree with you, that they kind of owed him a bigger deal. And because he is who he is and he's done what he's done, then damn it, you give him the big deal. And if he decides to walk away, or if he stinks, you eat the money and you figure it out. And so what? Maybe we'll have to have a bridge year or two, because look at what Tom Brady's done for you over the course of two decades in a double dynasty. They should have given him that money. I hate to ask, what does Brady owe them now? Everyone's saying, oh, there's a cloud hanging over the franchise. Oh, we can't figure out what's going on because Tom Brady holds all the cards. Ugh, and I hate borrowing that phrase from David Price. They sort of owed him that before. They didn't give it to him. What does Brady owe the fans and the franchise now? Nothing. Tom Brady owes everybody nothing. So we're just going to have to sit in this dirty diaper of uncertainty and ride the season out.
All right. The dirty diaper of uncertainty. That is the Fitzy and Gilroy experience here. We'll roll on when we come back at 617-779-7937.
More of what you want to hear. The Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
I still am not going to be surprised, though, if he winds up in with the
Chargers.
Yeah. I think it makes sense because they will court him, and if he has dangle.
I'll just give you one little nugget.
Okay.
Somebody really important to Tom Brady, who he spends every day with, his other half, doesn't like it out here in California.
Is that true?
So.
Willie McGinnis right there. Essentially shutting down all the Chargers rumors because Giselle does not like it out on the West Coast.
Before we take some calls, and I appreciate, listen, anything Slick Willie has to say, Big Willie style, I'm all about it. That's been one of the hot relocation destinations for TB12 2020. I heard Mack and Hat and a lot of other people talking about how it could be Dallas and how that makes the most sense. All I'll say is this. If you really want to give yourself the Patriot palpitations, if you want the wrong kind of Foxborough feels, episode 2 of the Patriots Talk podcast this week with Curran welcomes in the Senator, Phil Perry, who does a great job for them. Great guy. Far too handsome for his own good. Perry joins him on Thursday, and I'll just leave you with this before we take the calls. He outlines a different scenario where he could see Tom Brady, if he decides he wants to play, and not just stick it to Belichick, but, you know, go someplace and give himself a great chance to reestablish and prove a bigger point. Like, not only can I still play at a high level, I can help someone else who's good or not even that good become very good, if not relevant and supremely competitive in the January, February months. Phil Perry outlines how he could go to Miami.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. It's true, and it's highly compelling. Gilroy, you
that's
gave me
that
professional
look right
tease now.
Right there, but I don't know how it's, Tom Brady going to the Dolphins. Anyways,
okay.
I mean,
it's I'll just give you the 10 seconds of it.
Yep.
Stable coach who he's familiar with. Flores is doing a nice job already. He's making chicken salad out of chicken blank down there so far this season when we all thought they were in the tank for the first pick.
Yep.
They need a quarterback.
They do.
$100 million of salary cap room next year. The owner, Stephen Ross, who loves supporting Tom Brady's alma mater. Hail to the victors.
Yep.
Stephen Ross, the biggest contributor to the University of Michigan and University of Michigan sports. $100 million. They could go buy him all the wide receivers and offensive line he wants.
They can.
And to top it all off, three, not one, not two, three first-round draft picks.
That's a good, compelling argument. I mean,
and by the way, Giselle loves Miami, and Miami is a hell of a lot more interesting than, I don't know, Nashville, Dallas.
Is that true?
It is, yep. Sports Radio WEEI. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. It is the Oddballs. Room for you guys here at 617-779-7937. Let's get right out to these calls. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis is in New Hampshire. Dennis, you're first up here with the Oddballs.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Dennis?
Good. I think Tom Brady should just take his wide receivers into a private room. No coaches, no linemen, no tight ends, no nothing. This is how we're going to do it. Say, you go there, you go there, you go there. Which he's been telling them all year, but maybe they need to tell him personal. This is what you're going to do. If you have to cut it to 32-yard line, you cut it to 32-yard line. Not to 33, not to 31.
Well,
you know?
Dennis, that's a very fair point. And I will say this.
And I'm sure that Aaron heard the point before, but you know what I'm saying. But
my point on that, Dennis, is let's go beyond the fact that the Patriots offense, and I've argued with people on this station before, even on this very same Saturday program, and I appreciate your call, Dennis. There has been argument to the fact that how can the Patriots offense be so complicated? Well, you saw a point in case last Sunday night. Looked like Philip Dorsett ran to where he was supposed to go, and Tom Brady threw it the wrong place. It looked like Tom Brady threw a bad interception to when N'Keal Harry was supposed to be open on third down. There is nuance and subtlety to the offense. You have to be able to read when Brady decides he sees the kind of coverage that's coming up, and he's going to tell you to go somewhere else. It's not full-blown audibles. It's little checks and balances at the offensive line. These guys need to be on the same page with him, which is what led me to say this week, and, some people didn't agree, some people did. That's the nature of sports radio, guy. You may have to dumb the offense down a little bit for them just to let these kids get a firm enough grasp that they can be confident that when Brady sees, alongside with McDaniels, when they see these kids are getting it, when they're grasping it, Dorsett has no excuse. Sanu's a veteran. He's new. That's not just the back half of his last name. He's new to the game, but he's a veteran. He should be able to get it quicker, even though he came from an offense with different terminology. Get these kids confident and bring them up, as opposed to don't worry about trying to coach down to them. Just give them enough to be able to hold on to, and then they'll learn the rest of the system. But to just throw them this and be like, come on, guys, got to get on the same page with me. You're going to basically turn Brady into a right-armed version of J.K. Simmons from Whiplash.
I mean, not for nothing, Fitzy, but success breeds success, right? So if they dumb it down a little bit and get these guys feeling good about themselves,
just a little bit.
Get them feeling good about themselves, maybe when they start playing with some confidence because, I don't know, they've contributed something and their entire season hasn't been about Tom Brady sort of bitching at them on the sideline.
Right.
Maybe that is something that will help this team and these players take a step forward, because what I'm seeing here is every week you come on here and we talk about the next game, the next week, what's up with the Patriots, right? And every week you expect something to click with the offense. And it really hasn't clicked outside of some garbage time last week.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't really clicked yet. I'm not seeing that next step in their development at all.
Dude, you've got young kids. Are you gonna honestly ask your kids to make dinner? Or if it's Sunday night and you're having, I don't know, here's a favorite Sunday night supper, like a ziti bake, chicken parm with some garlic bread and salad. And you ask the 6-year-old to take the parm cheese and sprinkle it on top or put a little salt and pepper. All of a sudden, they feel like they've contributed to dinner, and it's a morale booster, and that's confidence for them, and it puts a smile on their face, and everyone's happy when they sit down at the table. Now, I'm not saying that Jacoby Myers is a 6-year-old, but basically just give them some easy things to build confidence so that they can get a hold of this. And I know, the easier the offense becomes, the more vanilla the playbook, the easier they are to defend. Fine. If you've got the talent and the players, go out there, get it done. Let Jacoby Myers put the salt and pepper and the parm on the chicken parm. Damn it, Tom.
There's nothing better than a good Sunday night dinner. And chicken parm, it's one of my favorites.
That's the best.
A little salt and pepper, a little garlic bread. You know what? These guys, they can contribute.
Right.
They can spread the butter on the bread.
Right, that's it. Let Jacoby Myers sprinkle the Parmesan, damn it, Tom.
It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Fitzy, it's Gilroy. It is the Oddballs. If you're on the line, stay on the line. I see you guys there. When we come back, we'll get to more of your phone calls. And I know Fitzy desperately wants to start breaking down this game. He wants to actually talk about what's going to happen on the field. We can do that. We'll do that in the next hour. But I'm not sure Fitzy wants to hear what I have to say at all about how I think this game is going to go.
That's a BMT, big market tease right there,
folks. It's not going to go well. It is Sports Radio, WEI.